I started serving here at the church in January, and I have been finding so much joy in being here and partnering with our dedicated volunteers to build up the children's ministry. My family and I enjoy learning and growing together in such a loving church where God's word is upheld as the source of all truth. As we open God's word together, please pray with me and ask him to be with us. Heavenly Father, as we open your inspired word, give us wisdom and understanding. We thank you and praise you for the gift of the Holy Spirit, our comforter, teacher, and defender. By your Spirit, guide us into all truth and show us how to live out that truth in our lives and share it with our family, friends, and the greater world. We ask in the name of our Lord Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. Our scripture for today is John chapter 15, verse 26 to chapter 16, verse 15. Please turn with me there in your Bibles or your Bible apps. When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you must also testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. All this I have told you so that you will not fall away. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, a time is coming when anyone who kills you will think they are offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I have told you this so that when their time comes, you will remember that I warned you about them. I did not tell you this from the beginning because I was with you, but now I am going to him who sent me. None of you asks me, where are you going? Rather, you are filled with grief because I have said these things. But very truly, I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father where you can no longer see me. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said, the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We are in a sermon series, Come and See Jesus in the Gospel of John, and we're currently moving through the farewell discourse, where Jesus has been preparing his disciples for his departure because the time of his crucifixion is drawing closer. Every Sunday, we have examined what each passage tells us about Jesus and what that means to us. In today's scripture, we see how Jesus has given us the Holy Spirit to show us truth, defend us against persecution, and empower us to testify about his saving work in our lives. This testimony should be part of our response to the adversity and outright hostility that's always part of living for Christ. It's our defense against the world. We are commanded to testify, empowered to testify, and our testimony prepares us for persecution and brings the world to repentance. When we tell our stories in the church, we build one another up, and we are strengthened in our faith. Then we are prepared to share our hope with the world, because all around us there are people Jesus loves who desperately need to hear the good news. My mother, Grandma Amy to my kids, is a tremendous part of my testimony. So this Mother's Day, I wouldn't want to pass up this opportunity to tell you a little bit about her and how God has used her in my life. She's not online, but I know that she will have someone play this back for her later on, so she'll be hearing it indirectly. She's had a few lifetimes worth of adversity, yet she's fiercely held on to Jesus. She raised my siblings and me mostly on her own. My parents were divorced, so she was and still is a single mom. But like all believers, she's never truly been alone. God's Spirit is so evident and at work in her. Whenever I reflect on her story, I see how much she has overcome, and I give God the glory for all that she means to me and to our family. It's because of her that I grew up in church, clearly hearing the gospel and responding in faith. And I would have never made it through college without her sacrifices that she continually made for me. And I'll tell you all something else. My mom is fun. We have so many stories, like how when the kids were little and she was coming for a visit, they always played this thing where they would hide plastic spiders in her bed. And every time she would play along and pretend to completely freak out. I give her credit for my great taste in music. And one more thing that's so special about my mom is just her heart for other people and how she is so active in the very same church where she grew up, and she leads missions projects and serves as a deacon. There's so much more that I could tell you about her, but I'll sum it up with a few words. My mom is a saint. She's a saint of the church. And that's what I think of when I see all of you as well. So many of you have come alongside my children, sharing your life and offering encouragement. I also see our church's teachers and volunteers serving faithfully, and our leaders equipping us to know the gospel well and share it boldly. You all show your love for Christ, and it's clear that you are also among the called out ones, the saints, who are separated from the world and who testify in your words and your loving actions. As Pastor Scott explained last week, in the Gospel of John, we see the world as an entire system of all that is working against God and his purposes. If you are among God's people, you are rescued from the world, and the Holy Spirit is at work in you, and he wants you to testify about how he's delivered you. There's power in your testimony to push back against darkness. In verses 26 and 27, we read, "When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you must also testify, for you have been with me from the beginning." You must also testify. Jesus gives this command before he is separated from his followers. It should be our response to a world that hates God and so, in turn, hates his people. As the Apostle Paul, who we know, of course, knew much persecution, wrote in Romans 12:14, "Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse." The call to testify can be intimidating, and our minds can race with fear and worry about how our message will be received. But Jesus has never commanded us to do anything that the Spirit doesn't empower us to do. And there should be joy in it. His commands are not meant to be a burden. Testifying about our salvation in Christ and how he deserves all glory and honor prepares us to face whatever trouble comes. If the world hates him, it will also hate us. We see Jesus at the start of chapter 16 warning that persecution is coming. The disciples will be thrown out of the synagogue, and some of them will be killed. Today, even when most of us here have lives of relative ease, persecution is still a reality because following Jesus is costly. Some of us suffer in our employment, are ostracized in the workplace, even held back from promotions. And that same experience is common in the classroom for both teachers and students who know the cost of speaking truth. Some know what it's like to be painfully divided from family. We have immigrants to our area who have come escaping violent persecution. And there are brothers and sisters around the world who are under constant threat because of their testimony. Through all of this suffering, Jesus has not forgotten any of his people. It is even better for us to live now after his resurrection because his work is now complete and he has sent an advocate to defend us against the world. The Holy Spirit understands the dangers and threats that surround us even better than we do. When the disciples received the Spirit at Pentecost, he indwelled them. He came to live inside each of them and give them the power, not just to survive hostility, but to boldly proclaim the truth that all of us need to hold on to and trust in. And as truth is proclaimed, enemies are convicted by the Holy Spirit, and they become friends of God. In John chapter 7, verses 38 and 39, Jesus said, "Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this, he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. In these verses, he's telling the disciples that his Spirit will work in them and flow out of them to bless others. His leaving will not just be better for the disciples, but also for the world, because with the Spirit's empowerment, the disciples will carry the message of salvation to the ends of the earth. Pentecost, when Jesus sent the Holy Spirit, was the birth of the church, the family of God. He also brought us together into that family. We are mothers and fathers, brothers and sisters who strengthen one another. Together, we look back to the beginning of God's work in our lives, and we see how he has faithfully guided us in his truth. Then together, we are prepared to follow his command to testify to the world. In this passage, we find three ways the Holy Spirit uses our testimony to bring about repentance. He speaks through us to prove the world wrong about sin, righteousness, and judgment. When we speak, the Holy Spirit brings about conviction of sin. He wants us to tell everyone how we have all offended a holy God who has every right to judge us. Secondly, the Spirit wants us to point to Jesus as the only standard of righteousness. We are all measured against his standard, and none of us can meet it. Lastly, the Spirit wants to speak through us about preparation for the coming judgment. All of us want to apply judgment to others, but believe that we don't deserve it ourselves. We should examine ourselves first, then speak with humility and love, laying aside any self-righteousness. Then, with the Spirit's help, we declare that Jesus is the one who takes our sin upon himself and gives us his righteousness to prepare us for the day of judgment. And we do this with patience and prayer, wanting everyone to come to repentance. To testify well, we need to remember well. To recount all that Jesus has done, we look back, just like he told the disciples, to the beginning of our time knowing him. And the church is our training ground for this, where we tell each other how he's rescued us. Then, together, we take our message to the world, with grace and humility, trusting that the Holy Spirit is working through us. We don't have the courage, ability, or understanding to go on our own, but as we learn together to rely on the Spirit and go prayerfully, he will guide us and use us. We can also trust that he will prepare the way, softening hearts to be ready to receive our message. Together, we learn to testify. In our small groups, we can tell our stories and reflect on the hope that we have in Christ. We can pray for one another and to be bold and wise in our interactions with the ones we love who still need to hear and believe the good news. We can support our missionaries and missionary partners and learn from them about testifying when we feel like it is beyond our comfort zone. And consider one more opportunity. As director of children's ministries, I can issue this invitation. Our children would be delighted to have covenant partners come into their Sunday school classes as special guests to tell your stories about following Jesus. So let me know if you feel the Holy Spirit urging you to be open to that idea. Saying yes to being here has been a part of my learning to rely on and trust in the Spirit. So expect Him to speak to you as well. As we leave today, may we go remembering that Jesus is faithful and that we can trust that He is going to use His church to bring about His work in the world. He commands us to testify and gives us the Spirit to empower us to obey. As we learn to obey the Spirit, sharing our faith will become more natural and fruitful. We will be prepared for trouble, which will always be a part of living in this fallen world. And we will develop a greater love for that world, longing to see everyone come to repentance and know Jesus as the only one worthy of all glory. Let us pray to Him now. Lord Jesus, thank You for gathering us here today to worship You. And we honor You, Lord, and know that You are worthy of all glory, honor, and praise. As we leave, may we carry Your light into the world, responding to any hate and hostility with love and truth. This week, help us experience the comfort, guidance, and power of Your Spirit. Show us how to step out in faith and obedience and obey Your commands. By Your Spirit, give us power and boldness to speak. Strengthen all who suffer in Your name. Comfort all of us who are hurting and grieving, and gather us together again as Your family next Sunday. We love You and we pray in Your name, Jesus. Amen.